Welcome to Talking Pest Management. Today, Daniel speaks to Rob Fryatt. Rob is working at Senex Associates, and he's working closely with the Bill Gates Foundation, reducing illness spread in third world countries as well. Enjoy today's Talking Pest Management.
Rob Fryatt, thank you so much for your time. Welcome to Talking Pest Management. Rob, we talked about malaria and your involvement, also including the Gates Foundation that you have been involved in. Can you explain how you have been involved in that whole process and what did you guys do?
Yeah, sure, Daniel. Most people know me, I guess, who will be listening to your podcast from work I've done in the professional pest management industry. But over the last 15 years, I've certainly been involved very heavily in the mosquito abatement market worldwide. And some of that work really started with being part of a wider group of people who put input into the first report produced by the Boston Consulting Group for the Gates Foundation just after the turn of the millennium, mm-hmm. where we were trying to identify where Gates Foundation could best put its money to have its, you know, the biggest bucks for impact. And there were a number of things I was bringing to that report, which was a pest management perspective about good operation, good spray technique, but just as much how to get technologies into the hands of people in developing markets such as Africa and Southeast Asia. And the one thing that the Gates Foundation picked up on very, very early and has made a significant impact on the reduction in terms of deaths and transmission of malaria was the use of insecticide-treated bed nets, mm-hmm. which have been probably the biggest intervention in the last 20 years in terms of reducing deaths in malaria, particularly in pregnant women and young children.
Wow.
But I don't think everybody should always focus just on malaria. There are other often called NTDs, neglected tropical diseases, that can have as much impact, certainly on a local scale, things like dengue fever, which is transmitted by a different species of mosquitoes to malaria and needs to be treated in a different way, along with perhaps some of the more known tropical diseases these days, such as the Zika virus, which came to prominence around the Rio Olympics, and chikungunya, which has spread from North Africa into places like Italy over the last few years.
And a friend of ours has sent me an article of yours, I think with a headline, "Over COVID, Do Not Forget Malaria," right? So what was the content of that?
Well, it's really just trying to get people to understand that what we do not want to see is, as much as COVID is a global challenge, so much good work has been done over the last 20 years and so much has been invested in improving malaria control, improving control of some of these neglected tropical diseases. It would be so, so easy to go back to where we were if we don't continue these programs, we don't continue the emphasis on developing this on. And this is a particular concern, I think, in places like Africa, where you have a number of countries which clearly have limited resources within their own, let's call them national health services, mm-hmm. you know, where money is being pulled away from well-established on-the-ground programs to fight other diseases. And we have to keep this in balance. Malaria is still the biggest single killer of children on the planet.
It seriously is. I didn't even know that.
Well, if you take out malnutrition and things that go alongside that in terms of gastroenteric diseases, I mean, malaria as a specific problem is a big killer on the planet.
And there was one specific product or prototype of a product that has been very prominent in the news, which I think was the laser kind of mosquito trap or mosquito killer that the Gates Foundation also invented. Did you also contribute to that?
We'll have to do a bit of cut and paste on this. That's something that I don't know very much about, and has been quite a recent development.
Really?
I've seen it in the news
a few years ago, and I was like, oh my God.
Are you thinking about this thing where you fire lasers at mosquitoes and knock them out of the sky?
Yeah.
I mean, it's an interesting concept, but they're there by their millions and millions and millions, and I'm not quite sure how you target them.
Yep. Yeah. So, Rob, there's another story about the West Nile virus and its impact in the US. So can you talk about that?
Yeah. West Nile virus started to emerge around the millennium in the US. And at that time, mosquito treatment happened through the government mosquito abatement districts, which were bigger and smaller depending where you were in the States. And probably at that time, less than 5% of members of the National Pest Management Association of States actually did any mosquito work. Hmm. Over the last 15 years, that has grown because it's become a significant problem. I mean, there are now over 200 deaths a year from West Nile virus in the States, and it's growing to be something like a $500 million business for pest management companies. So now probably 30%, I guess, of MPMA members do some sort of mosquito treatment. My concern is we already have pockets here and there in Europe, small pockets of mosquitoes that transmit West Nile virus. I think with the way we're seeing climate change, changing weather patterns, the potential for more and more overwintering of mosquitoes further and further north in Europe, I'm just concerned that the whole pest management industry really isn't prepared for, one, the challenge, and two, the opportunity. European Centre for Disease Control, the European CDC, which has come to a lot of people's notice due to COVID. They've been the real people pumping out the COVID numbers on a daily basis. But they have an extremely good network of scientific people and academic people who are monitoring this. I'm concerned that the pest management industry isn't engaged with this, understanding it enough. We aren't getting enough products registered for mosquito control across Europe. And just with something like termite control, you need to train technicians in a completely different approach to pest management to control mosquitoes than you do for rats and cockroaches and mice and bedbugs.
Wow. Now that's news to come. I mean, as you said, it could be there 2021. And I think it's true that the industry is probably, especially manufacturers and distributors, not ready yet when it comes to distribution and registration of new products, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, we all know how long it takes to register products, and we need to be getting these pests added to the labels. The products are there. It's getting the pests on the labels.
Okay, gotcha. Wow. So, Rob, hey, thank you so much for the discussion. Interesting insights, definitely. I think some topics we Europeans have to be a little bit more focused on. And one thing I want to tease her as well, you have been involved in your career over, you know, probably everybody watching the show knows you, and most of the people I interviewed know you obviously because you've worked with them, and you've been involved with SEPA, and what you did for SEPA is something we should call a broad standard that made our pest control industry way better, and I think we got an opportunity in the next interview to speak about that one as well, I hope.
It will be an absolute pleasure to share with you thoughts on that. It would.
Cool. Thank you so much for your time.
Absolute pleasure.
We hope you liked today's episode of Talking Pest Management. As always, stay updated on our social media channels, Talking Pest Management and Futura Germany. Talk to you next week. Bye.